I'm Vic Cohen, and it's a fair question. It's a fair question. It's a fair question. I'm Vic Cohen, and it's a fair question. It's a fair, it's a fair, it's a fair, it's a fair question. I'm Vic Cohen, and it's a fair, it's a fair, it's a fair, it's a fair question. Hello, this is Vic Cohen broadcasting live from stunning, beautiful Skid Row Studios in downtown Los Angeles, California. The name of the show is It's a Fair Question. That's right, because on this show, every question is a fair question. There's absolutely no question ever that's too personal or ever off limits. And I am warning you, my guest, sitting across from me, nothing is off limits.
Uh-oh.
That's right. And tonight I have, sitting across from me, one of the biggest stuntmen in Hollywood. And when I say biggest, I don't mean by weight or height. I mean by credits. The man's credits are insane. And if one of the stunts he had done in the past had not gone right, there's a good chance you wouldn't be here. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's a possibility.
Yes. His name? Welcome, Jim Wilkie.
Thank you
so much for being here. I know you have quite a drive from Ventura all the way here to downtown Los Angeles.
No traffic, fortunately.
Well, I really want to think it was funny. You called me from downstairs where you were locked out, and
right.
I came down, and I said, well, you're a stunt guy. Just come in, right?
Yeah.
You could have probably broken in here, right?
It's easier to just climb the building.
Could you have done that?
Yeah, well, 10 years ago, maybe. I don't know about now.
What about just going through the plate glass window?
How much money you got?
Not enough. Well, I want to share with all of you some of Jim's credits. I went on IMDb, where we go often to find people's credits. Celebrities such as Jim Wilkie. Well, it's funny, though. Everyone seems to have an IMDb page, no matter what they've done. But your page is crazy extensive. There were 106 credits from your work.
They don't even have them all on there.
Well, so what we're going to do is I'm going to go through all 106 right now. No, not true. But I do want to highlight for all of you some of Jim's work. He's got Mad Max Fury Road for 2015, correct?
Yes.
That's a big film, isn't it?
Yeah, it was huge.
Okay, and you guys are done with stunt work on that?
Yeah, they actually just finished. They had some additional photography. We filmed 6 months in Namibia, Africa.
You were in Africa?
Uh-huh, last year.
That's fantastic.
Last year.
What were your stunts in that?
It was mostly just pretty straightforward stuff, driving, you know, a lot of close maneuvering and everything. There was, unfortunately, they employed a lot of CGI.
So the computer graphics.
Yeah, and simulated travel. So.
CGI is computer graphics integration?
Imagery.
Imagery. Okay, great. Yeah. Great. And when you're acting and working, you do your own stunts?
Yeah, that's correct.
That was kind of a joke. I do my own stunts. I mean, of course, that's what you do. You do every stunts for everyone.
Yeah, I'd like to bring somebody in sometimes. But
yeah? Let me share again some of your other credits with everyone. Men in Black 3, Hangover Part 2. Mm-hmm. That you were out in Asia, correct?
We were in Thailand, yes.
Yeah, that must have been something. How long?
About 4 months.
And how many of those days were you hungover?
About 4 months.
A lot of drinking?
Oh, no. God forbid.
God forbid. That'd be unprofessional.
Yeah, that would be.
What were the stunts you did out in Thailand?
Well, I did the boat sequence. I doubled. It's the second time I've doubled Zach Galifianakis.
You look just like him, too.
I do, yeah. The resemblance is uncanny.
It's uncanny, it?
Yeah. But with a beard and a shaved head, who knew?
Right. And what kind of guy is he?
Excellent, excellent. Really nice guy. Just, you know, down to earth, straightforward, cool dude.
You had fun?
Yeah.
And how well do you get to know the actors that you're doubling for?
Sometimes you get to know them pretty good, and sometimes you rarely ever see them, if at all, you know.
And how did the relationship develop with you and Zach?
Well, I thought it went really well. I mean,
is there going to be a second date?
Maybe. I don't know. I brought him flowers. I
mean, was there a bromance?
No, I don't think so. I did Due Date with him. I doubled him on Due Date, and then Hangover was the second movie. And it was a lot of fun. He's a great guy. All of them were, Cooper, he's a great guy.
Yeah.
Ed, it was a great cast.
Did you do any stunt work with them?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you, so in other words, those actors were in the same scene and you were standing in as if you were Zach. So they were actually talking and interacting with you.
Oh, yeah. Well, I drove the boat for Zach. I don't know if you recall the sequence where the cigarette boat and they're chasing through the river there. And he finally jumps it up on the beach into the wedding party. And so I doubled him driving the boat. So they had, you know, the actors in the boat with me driving it as Zach.
I see.
So,
and like a shot of you from behind. Yeah. And it looks just like him.
Yeah.
What are the accommodations like? Are you, by union law, do you have to fly first class?
Yeah. Well, actually, they sort of dropped the ball on that one. Now they can legally fly us business class, which is pretty much the same thing.
What about the hotel? We were like Four Seasons. We had a 5-star.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. The best of the best.
Yeah. Yeah, that's contractually, SAG contract.
So you're really living good when you're on the road.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
That's great. Good to hear. Because the work you do is so dangerous. We've also got other credits here. Just, again, very impressive. Salt, Inception, NCIS, The Dark Knight. We're going to talk about that a little later. Rush Hour, Face Off, Casino, Naked Gun 33 and a Third. And, of course, Scare Tactics, where you and I know a lot of some of the very talented people we both had the opportunity to work with. And we've had the chance to work together on, and that would be...
We have.
That would be Deal With It.
Yes.
Howie Mandel, Mike Harney's show, Roy Bang, Mike Marks, the whole group.
Yeah, yeah. Great bunch of guys.
Tom. Yeah. We had such a great group.
Yeah.
So you also worked on a lot of, what do you prefer, TV or film? Or do you not care?
It doesn't really matter. I mean, I like film because a lot of times you have the opportunity to go and be on location, and I love to travel and see different places. And
going over your credits, is there something I missed that you're particularly proud of?
The Fugitive with Harrison Ford was one of my favorites to work on.
Why?
Harrison's such a great guy.
What makes him a great guy?
He's just like, you know, he doesn't act like a movie star, you know? Like we were doing, I've worked with him on several movies, and he would just come into the room, you know, maybe the stunt guys have a room and they're getting their pads on and they're doing, you know, getting ready to go out and do maybe a fight sequence or something. And Harrison did a lot of his own fight sequences. And,
when you say flight sequences, are we talking about him sitting in an airplane, a fighter or some
fight.
Kind of?
No, fight, like boxing.
Fight.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, right, okay.
He'd just come in, one of the guys, bullshit, you know, and sit down, put some pads on, knee pads, elbow pads, you know, and talk over what we're going to do, the routine or something. And he's just a cool dude, yeah.
Anyone not a cool dude? And who would that be?
I knew you were going to ask that question.
And it is a fair question. Yeah. Well, if you're going to tell me all the cool people, I need to know who's not so cool.
Steven Seagal.
Really?
Yeah.
What made him uncool or difficult, let's say, to work with, or unpleasant? However, how would you characterize it?
Just an unpleasant individual to be around.
Huh.
Yeah.
Why? What happened?
You know, I don't want to really get into that a lot.
Oh, that's a fair question. It's a fair question. You know,
but he in my opinion, he got off on trying to hurt the stunt guys, you know.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's a business. It's all fake. It's phony. You're doing a fight with a guy, you know, you're not supposed to hit him in the ribs and break his ribs, or you're not supposed to hit him in the jaw. You know, it's fake. You know, I mean, we all want to be able to do 8 takes, go home and come back the next day and be able to work, you know.
Right.
And I think he just kind of, again, in my opinion, he kind of got off on, you know, kicking the stunt guys around a little bit because I guess in his mind, he knew he could get away with it. You know, we're not going to hit him back. What are we going to do? You know, hit the star of the movie. So,
what was the film?
I did a couple of movies with him. Out for Justice was one. Movie up in Alaska where he played kind of a Red Adair character on Deadly Ground. Yeah.
What did he do to you physically?
We had a fight sequence I stayed up with him pretty good. The guy's good. He's fast. He's fast with his hands.
These are choreographed like sequences.
Well, they're supposed to be, yeah. And at one point at the end of this fight, he's supposed to throw me through this big plate glass gun cabinet. You know, it's a cabinet, real cabinet, about, you know, waist high. And then the top part of it is a glassed-in gun cabinet. And he's supposed to swing me around and throw me through the gun cabinet. And you know, just before we got ready to do that was the end piece of the fight we were doing. I said, look, Steven, I know you're a big, strong guy and everything, but, you know, don't try and really throw me. Just get me around, Allie, but let me go. Let me do my own thing, you know, so that I've got full control of my body as I go through the air. And, you know, I can turn and I can get into the, because it's real glass, you know, it's real wood.
This wasn't fake, like balsa wood and stunt glass, if there's such a thing.
I don't stunt glass. Yeah, candy glass.
Okay, no, but this was the real...
It might have been. I don't remember.
Regardless, being thrown is dangerous.
Well, it's not... Yeah, I mean, it's just the idea that, you know, if you're in the air, you want to have control of your body. And if somebody else is actually physically throwing you, it takes away your timing. You know, it messes you up in the air. And, of course, he tried to throw me, and I, you know, it screwed me up, and I couldn't get up high enough to clear the edge of the cabinet, so I slammed into it and broke a couple of ribs, and, you know, it just, stuff like that.
Did he laugh?
He might have. I don't remember.
I mean, did he apologize?
No.
Did you do another take?
Yeah.
With broken ribs?
Yeah.
You knew they were broken?
Yeah.
And so it's part of the job. You got to do it again.
Yeah, you just tape up. Go for it. I mean, what are you going to do with ribs? You know. Yes.
Did he clear it the next time?
Yeah, he did it. We did it good. It worked good the next time.
Right. And this was not just an isolated case with you. You're saying other stunt people were getting injured.
Yeah.
What do you do? Do you talk to the director? Because you can't speak to Steven himself.
No, you can try, but yeah. No, you just go with it. You know, it's part of the deal. You just, you know, some people are, you know, just, I don't know.
Well, what you're trying to say is some people are dicks and some people aren't.
You said it.
I did, because I know you can't. Well, that's pretty interesting. I would have no idea that story is great.
So if I get sued by him, can I pass that bill on to you? Or?
No, Jeremy, who runs the studio and owns it, and his partner Joel, they are fully responsible.
Great.
So you had mentioned earlier, you said that you asked me if I had enough money to pay you to go through that window or the door,
right?
Maybe you would be open to it. So I do want to ask you, as a stunt person, not me, but you, I'm just curious, like, what? How do you get paid? Is it by stunt? Because, like, I'm going to throw some ideas, some stunts out to you, and I'm curious if you know off the top of your head what that would pay. What about taking a bottle to the head?
It depends on the circumstances and
how many and, how intelligent the person is getting hit.
Well, yeah, how many brain cells are going to lose? Well, let me back up for a second and clarify it for you. We all work. We're part of the Screen Actors Guild.
Okay,
we have to be to work.
And the Screen Actors Guild, for those of you who don't know, is the general guild for all actors and
correct.
Performers.
Yeah, actors, stuntmen, all fall under the auspices of the Screen Actors Guild.
So when I say all, I mean not everyone's in it. Most people would like to be in it. It's the professional level, generally speaking, as regarded as the professional level of all actors to get there.
If you're working in a legitimate movie, you're working under a Screen Actors Guild contract.
Right. And now it's SAG-AFTRA because those two unions have combined.
Yeah.
Okay, just to clarify. Go on, please.
So anyway, we work, we come in on, the stunt guys usually, we don't negotiate, you know, like if you're a big movie star, you're going to come in at, you know, you negotiate your, you know, $20 million per film. We obviously don't do that. We come in on either a SAG scale daily or a weekly. And then the way we really make our money is through what they call stunt adjustments. And stunt adjustments are and should be based on the degree of difficulty and the degree of danger of the stunt you're going to perform. So let's say I come in and I'm going to pipe ramp a car.
What is pipe ramping?
It's hitting a ramp made out of a pipe and flipping the car end over end. I've seen it in a million movies, you know.
Right.
Where the car goes through the air and corkscrews and lands on its nose and flips over 15 times. That's called a pipe ramp. So if I'm going to go in and do a pipe ramp, I would negotiate, or the way it's supposed to work is you would negotiate your fee up front. In other words, the coordinator would say, if you're not coordinating, you're working for somebody else, he'd say, well, okay, we're going to pipe ramp this car, and you're going to go through, you know, you're going to crash through three lanes of traffic and wind up upside down in the L.A. River. Well, okay, you know, what do you think it's worth? Well, you know, X dollars, $5,000, $10,000, whatever, you know. So that would be over and above your daily SAG rate.
Okay, and then there's custom and standard, customary and standard kind of ideas about what a pipe.
Yeah, I mean, there's some rough, you know, guidelines.
So what is it? Let's say that. Let's use your example. What would that cost? What would they be paying you to do a pipe? What's it called? A pipe screw?
Pipe. Yeah, sometimes.
That's something.
Yeah,
sometimes that's after the shoot. That's after the shoot.
Yeah, pipe ram. Yeah.
So let's say it's a is it based on how many rolls also?
No, not necessarily.
So what would it be, a pipe roll that lands in the river?
Yeah, a pipe ram. Yeah,
pipe ram.
If you know, it's he says, yeah, I want it to turn over at least two or three times, and you're going to land on your roof, and you're going to be in, you know, you're going to go down the bank or something. It just depends. If it's just a straightforward turnover, yeah, you know, worth. Whatever, I don't want to set prices here on the deal, but you know, it's worth
fair
X
question.
Dollars, you know. And as the degree of difficulty and danger goes up, so does the price.
I mean, can a stuntman get rich doing this?
No.
And why do you say that so quickly?
Well, I say no. Yeah, you can make a really good living. You're not going to get, it depends on your define rich. I mean, you know.
Can you make $1 million a year doing stunts?
No.
Half a million?
Not. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Half a million.
So That's good money.
Yeah.
Now, are the prices, are they inflated because we all know there's only a certain length of a career of a stunt person? In other words, like, no?
No.
Because that's a problem, right?
I mean, there's a shelf life. You know, I mean, I'm fortunate. I'm longer in the tooth now, but I'm fortunate to still be working. But, you know, it's a young man's game.
You didn't want to quote a price, I'm guessing, because it's important for you when you're working to not be stuck with a price. Let's say someone were to hear this broadcast.
Well, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I just want to make sure that's, because I thought that's why.
Yeah, if I'm working for Joe or Pete or Ralph or whoever, and he says, oh, I heard on the radio the other day you'd do it for $2,500. Well, yeah, but you didn't say I was going to, you know, go down a 30-foot bank and through a building and, you know, all this.
Right.
So every individual stunt is negotiated on its merits alone. You
know? Okay. Also, I suspect you might take a lower rate if it's a bigger exposure.
No.
Or is it the opposite? Bigger exposure, bigger rate. Bigger director, bigger rate. Bigger stars, bigger rate.
No, I mean, it kind of is what it is. I mean, okay. we're not driven by the star value or the budget of the movie. It's strictly you want me to do this, it's going to cost you this.
You told me that you've had some broken ribs, courtesy of Steven Seagal. Who else has hurt you, and what have they done?
Most of the time, if I get hurt, it's that I did it to myself.
And I do mean emotionally, too. We will include that. So Steven hurt you both emotionally and physically.
Yeah. No. The only other time that I've actually had an actor hurt me was... God, I'm just drawing a blank now. I can't. Greg Evigan. We were doing BJ and the Bear. I'm dating myself now.
Not the porn BJ and the Bear. That was a different BJ and the Bear.
Yeah.
Yes.
The old TV series with the monkey.
There probably is a porno called BJ and the Bear.
Probably. And I may have worked on it.
And I want to see it. And yeah. I did see it. And you did great work.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Excellent work.
Some of my best work.
Yeah. It was wonderful. All I saw was the top of your head.
Yeah.
But I knew it was you. Okay. Go on.
Thank you. So Greg, we're doing a fight, and that's usually when you're going to get clipped, is if you're working with an actor. And
I don't know this actor. Is he well known? Should I
Greg
know him?
Greg Evigan? Yeah. I mean, he was
Jeremy,
big.
Do you know him? No? Okay.
You guys are children.
Not really, but okay. So he, at some point,
he was, he
or
was
we're
pretty,
just ignorant.
Yeah,
about
he was
this.
Pretty big in the 70s and 80s. He did TV series and I think he was a singer.
So what happened?
Anyway, it was no big deal. He just, you know, you're doing, like I say, a fight scene with an actor, okay, which we do a lot because the actors, you know, they got to be in there somewhere, you know, so they can cut into them and see that they're throwing the punch and all of that stuff. So, but, you know, a lot of times they're thinking ahead to their dialogue and they're not necessarily really focused on, some of them are very good, like Harrison, really good, great. I mean, it's like doing a fight with a stunt guy. But I don't know. Greg was thinking something else or whatever, and we're doing a fight, and you have to keep a certain distance, you know, and it's all pretty choreographed. It's kind of like a dance move, you know. And he just, for some reason, he stepped in and to throw a punch and stepped in a little too close and broke my nose. Mm. So, you know.
Do you get a bump in
pay?
Yeah,
I had a bump on my nose. You mean extra money because yeah. you got hurt? No.
There's no hazard.
It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
No.
Are you guys, are stunt people, is it a nice fraternity? Do you all get along or is it very competitive yeah. and you're fighting for jobs?
Well, it's very competitive. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Are you kidding? Yeah, everybody gets along. I mean, it is sort of a big fraternity, you know.
Have you lost any friends because a stunt went bad?
No.
What about crippled?
You mean lost? Oh, you like mean unable lost to walk. Friends, like lost them.
Either they, like they either died. They died in a bad accident.
Yes.
You have?
Yes.
What happened?
Well, I'd have to think, but years ago there was one of the stunt guys was killed in a helicopter accident.
A famous, what was the film? That was a famous accident.
Yeah.
I'm a big director.
Yeah.
Jeremy, do you know that film?
Can't think of the name yeah. of the movie right now.
Wasn't it in the Valley?
No, this was over in the Philippines.
Oh, okay.
The one you're talking about. Yeah, that's another one. That was up in up by Castaic. Yeah.
You knew the stunt people who passed
uh-huh.
away?
Uh-huh, yeah. Yeah, and then lost another fellow. He was doing a high fall, and he missed the airbag. And we're talking years ago. But, yeah, I mean, we all pretty much know each other, at least to some extent.
I mean, not to get graphically gruesome here, but or I'm just curious, like, how well were you going to his funeral? Is it like firemen, they go to each other's funerals? They know each other that well?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah?
Yeah? I mean, a lot of times that's the only time you see guys unless you're working with them. You know, that's kind of a standard joke. Shit, we got to stop going to these funerals. It's the only time we see each other. But that's not always somebody getting killed on the set. And that's just natural.
But you can name three people. I understand. But you can name three people who died in the line of work.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe even more?
Yeah, probably more if I thought about it.
And that never stops you from wanting to do what you do?
Well, no. I mean... You know, that's what I do. You don't really consciously think about that.
Are you in denial about the danger?
No, I don't think so.
Do you get off on the danger?
Well, I think you have to be a certain level of adrenaline junkie to do what I do, what we do. So, yeah, I guess.
Are you an adrenaline junkie?
Oh, yeah.
How else does it show itself?
Well, just in, you know, my hobbies.
What are those?
Yeah, I like racing, race cars, motocross, dirt bike riding, driving fast, doing stuff. You know, I rodeoed when I was younger. I've always been in the physical end of it, you know.
What about drugs?
Personally?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, there is an adrenaline rush with that. What kept you away from drugs?
I don't know. I'm just too chicken shit, I guess, to try it. I
afraid
don't
to die.
Yeah.
The irony.
Thank you.
What about drinking?
Yes, I do enjoy the occasional libation. Yeah.
Do you think it's an addiction?
No.
Fair question.
Yeah.
But does addiction run high in the stunt world?
You know, I really can't answer that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't... None of the close associations I have with people that I don't think are addicted. You know?
Well, here's where my thinking is coming from. You guys and ladies, you get hurt a lot. You got to take care of the pain. You take prescription medications. Prescription medications, painkillers are very, very addictive.
Very.
And I could imagine that I would think, but again, it's just me in my head, that this is a problem. But you're saying that you don't know of it really being a significant problem.
You know, I could probably come up with a few instances where I know certain people that maybe have gotten addicted to pain medications or something through the course of injuries. But, I mean, is it like widespread or is it prominent? No. You know, you got to think about it. What we do requires a really clear head, you know. And if you're... hungover or you're on some kind of drugs that impairs your thinking and your reaction time and your mobility, you're in a lot of trouble going in.
I would have to be on drugs to do the kind of stunts you do. You're scared to death?
Well, I scare the hell out of myself sometimes, yeah. But no, I mean, if you're scared to death, you can't do this.
Are you scared of death?
Oh, of death? No, I don't think so. I mean, I... like to put it off as long as possible, but I don't think I'm scared of it.
If you died in a stunt, how would you feel about that? No, if I were to tell you I mean, is that a way you expect to die in a stunt?
You mean, do I expect to go out in a blaze of glory turning a car over or something? No, I expect to die shot in bed by a jealous husband or something. I don't know. I'm kidding.
So as far as the danger involved, you are engaged in perhaps one of the most, if not most dangerous professions.
Well, one of them. I mean, there's you know.
Do you think what you do is dangerous?
Yeah, it can be. I mean, you don't consciously think about it. You really don't.
Are you blocking it out? Do you need me to tell you what you do? I'm going to tell you something right now.
I'm living in denial?
Yeah. What you do, this is an intervention. This is a danger intervention. I'm going to tell you right now what you do is very dangerous.
Oh, okay.
And people, you could die doing this.
Christ, I wish you hadn't told me that. Now I got to quit.
I'm sure. What is, not to get morbid here, but I am curious. Can you get life insurance?
Pretty tough.
Because who would want to insure you?
Lloyd's of London.
Really?
Maybe. Yeah.
Do you have life insurance?
No. Well, I have it through the Screen Actors Guild, but it's a minimal. It's like, you know, not enough to really do anything.
Right.
But to go out and get a life insurance policy, you almost have to kind of lie to them and tell them you're an actor or something. You know?
Right. Do you think of yourself, though, as an actor?
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, a lot of what we do is incorporates some sort of acting, you know.
You said that the work can sometimes scare you. So you do get scared.
Well, I don't know. I guess there's different levels and degrees of being scared. Yeah, I mean, if you're just petrified, no, you can't go out and do this stuff. But, I mean, yeah, you get a little, sometimes you get a little apprehensive, you know. Like, you know, you're sitting there and you're getting ready to do something weird, like turn that truck over in the dark night. It's like, what the hell am I doing this for, you know?
I've had that feeling,
yeah.
You know, before going on stage doing stand-up.
I had it just before we came in here.
What am I doing here?
You get a little apprehensive. I don't think it's fear. Well, it's not fear. It's just anticipation. It's like a race car driver, maybe, you know? I mean, you're anticipating it and your heart's jumping a little bit out of your chest and you're jacked up. You're ready to go.
But that's what you love about it.
Yeah. That's part of the deal.
What do you compare? What can me not being a stunt person and all of you people listening, you know, how can we compare that adrenaline rush to what you experienced doing a big stunt? Like what else in life would be comparable? Is there anything?
Getting married.
Okay. So for me, there was fear.
Yeah.
So, and you're not kidding about that.
No, I mean.
And how is the connection of fear?
You're
committing.
Like, yeah. What am I getting myself into here? You know, I'm kidding a little bit.
Well, no, I'm taking you dead seriously. I would consider the kind of stunts you do as scary as marriage. So when you when it's the pedal to the metal, and there's no stopping. You've reached that point because you can always bail on a stunt up to a point, correct?
Most of the time, yeah, up to a point.
But once you're in it, have you ever thought to yourself, "This is going to go bad"?
Oh yeah.
And what happened?
Well, a few times it went bad.
What are some of the worst things that have happened?
Well, God, I knew you were going to ask me that. Everybody does.
But I don't want to hear that. I'm asking predictable questions that everyone does.
It's always, what's the hardest thing you've ever done? Well, how many times have you been hurt?
I hope I didn't sound like that.
No. That's my inner voice. Did it come out? It didn't go bad, but there was one incident. We did a movie called The Package with Gene Hackman.
Uh-huh.
Very, very dear friend of mine was the stunt coordinator, Terry Leonard. Very famous, very, very famous stuntman, stunt coordinator.
Now, the stunt
director.
Sorry to interrupt. I just so we're all clear, the stunt coordinator is the person who works specifically with the director in really mapping out the stunt and finding out, deciding what's required of the stunt, where we're going to shoot it. And then that stunt coordinator brings in someone like yourself?
Correct. Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty accurate. Pretty accurate description.
So go on with your story.
Anyway, we're in Chicago, wintertime, it's snowing. I'm doubling Gene Hackman and doing the driving. And we're shooting this whole high-speed car chase through downtown Chicago.
Were you under the L tracks? Because it's so dangerous down there.
Oh, yeah.
You always see those shots.
Yeah, under the L. And we're... Yeah.
Yells the train there.
Yeah. Anyway, the sequence is real quick. I got to come flying into an intersection, slide sideways, hit the concrete wall underneath the L tracks, go down the sidewalk, hit a 55-gallon drum that's supposedly full of salt that they're going to put on the road, go out, hit a parked car that we have staged in the road, and slide sideways out into the road and just get missed by a semi-truck that's coming down the road. This is all one shot.
It's got to be choreographed to the second.
Yeah. And so anyway, here we go. Boom, action. I come along. I slide it sideways, slam off the concrete wall down the sidewalk. Well, I hit the barrel. The barrel had about maybe 4 inches of salt in the top with a false bottom. It flips up over the hood of the car, breaks the windshield, and sprays the salt across the windshield. Now I can't see. Well, prior to us doing this, I've got to backtrack, I'm sorry, but prior to us doing this stunt, across the street, there was a parking lot next to a building, and about 8 spaces in is a brand new Cadillac, and they can't find the owner to move it. So Terry comes to me and he goes...
That's the stunt coordinator?
Yeah, Terry Leonard, the stunt coordinator. He comes to me and he says, well, we can't find the owner of that Cadillac. And this falls under the category of famous last words. I said, don't worry about it, Leonard. I'll never get to that Cadillac. There's no way I can get to that Cadillac, right? Well, you see what's coming. So anyway, the barrel hits the windshield, cracks the windshield, sprays salt across it. I can't see, so I squirt out from there onto the road. I missed the parked car, which if I had have hit it, I'd have known where I was at. But I missed the parked car because I couldn't see. Shot straight across the road, right through the parking lot, and center punched the side of this Cadillac. Wrapped it right around the front of this car, right? It's a bad thing.
Yeah, it's not
a good thing.
It's not your fault.
Yeah, it wasn't, you know. But here's what a class act Leonard was, right? He walks over. I didn't get out of the car because I knew what happened. I knew I'd hit
the Cadillac.
Better
to just stay in there.
Yeah, and my famous last words flashed back in my mind, I'll never get to the Cadillac, right?
Yeah.
So Terry comes over and I'm still sitting in the car and he just kind of leans over and he goes, hit the barrel. Yeah. Salt came across the windshield. Yeah. Couldn't see where you're going. Yeah. Missed the parked car. Yeah. Hit the Cadillac, didn't you? Yeah. He goes, all right, you want to do it again? I went, yeah. All right. That's all he said. Turned around, walked away.
I'd love to see the face of the owner of that Cadillac.
Oh, Christ. Are you kidding? The whole rest of the movie, the unit manager, the guy that controls the money, followed me around like a puppy dog going, those cars aren't ours now. Those cars aren't ours. It was funny, but at the time, jeez.
What is the fabric? What kind of makeup must one have to be a successful stunt person, psychological and physically, and even emotionally?
I think you have to have the ability to compartmentalize your brain, put everything that's going on in your life or whatever, or the guy that cuts you off in traffic going to work. You've got to be able to take all of that and put it in the back of your brain and lock it in a room. Because when you get ready to do a stunt, you have to have 110% focus on what you're doing. But you also have to have the ability to know what's going on around you. In other words, you can't be completely tunnel vision, you know, like, I'm going to hit a ramp and I'm going to turn a car over. I'm focused on the ramp because I know I got to hit it at a certain speed and a certain way to make the car do what I want it to do. But I also have to be aware of everything around me in case somebody runs out in the road, an extra walks across, a car blows a roadblock, comes into the shot. So you have to have the ability to focus but still be aware of your surroundings. And you have to, I think, probably, in my opinion, stunt person's best asset is their ability to think on their feet.
And how is that shown? Literally, like when the salt's on the windshield?
Yeah.
How am I going to get out of this alive?
Yeah. Kind of like, you know, oh, shit, I missed the car. I know I'm going to hit the Cadillac. And nah, it's just, sometimes you have to make snap decisions, like you mentioned earlier about aborting something, you know.
Right.
you have to know, you have to instinctively say, this is not going to be good. There's still time. And know where your outs are, your back doors, so to speak, and know how to, okay, I'm bailing on this because it isn't going to work. It's going to be ugly. I think just your ability to think on your feet, make snap decisions correctly, and be able to focus.
Well, it also sounds like an actor being in the moment and responding to what's happening in front of you.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can plan only so much. That's the other thing. You know, they say to be great at something, I don't know if you've heard this, you're supposed to do it like 10,000 times. And, you know, there are certain things that you do stunt-wise that have never been done. You don't have a chance to practice 10,000 times.
Yeah, that's
true. Or even three times. Sometimes two is the most you'll get, correct?
Yeah, sometimes.
So your background, if your expertise is primarily driving?
Yeah.
And what else?
Well, in my earlier, younger years, I did everything. You had to.
And
you
what is everything?
Do. Well, fights, firework, high falls, a little bit of everything. I learned how to use whips. I learned how to use swords. My background was as a cowboy, so I worked in a lot of westerns, you know, ride a horse, drive a wagon.
These are hard things, correct?
Well, it's just, it's not the normal thing that somebody would go out and learn to do just for the heck of it, you know. So,
like you could ride a stagecoach with no problem.
Ride it or drive it?
Drive it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I would be scared.
Yeah.
So you're an expert horseman?
Well, I used to be. I'm pretty crippled up now. I haven't been on a horse in a long time. But
when you say you're crippled, what does that mean? Because of so many injuries?
You know, injuries and just old age and, you know, arthritis. And
you look like you're about in your 50s.
Thank you. God, give this man some flowers for me, please.
How many stunts have you done over your lifetime, would you say?
Individual stunts? I could.
Take a guess. 10,000, 20,000?
You know, maybe 10,000. I couldn't even hazard a guess.
What's the one stunt you've turned down that you wish you hadn't? And the one stunt you did that you wish you had?
Wish I had turned down?
Yeah, but what's the one stunt that you wish you had? You know, many actors wish they had not turned down a certain job that turned out to have been a career changer. Is there any stunt you turned down that you look back on and you're like, God, I should have taken that?
Well, you know, that's a hard question. And I don't want to come off sounding like some kind of an asshole here. But I can only think of maybe one or two stunts that I've actually said, no, I don't want to do that.
Because you're a pussy?
Yeah, that.
Yeah. I love saying that to you because it's so ridiculous.
There's always that.
I was totally kidding. What were those that...
Well, I did turn one down. Again, it was for Terry Leonard, who was a
stunt coordinator.
Yeah, and I worked a lot with Terry back in the day. And I had fractured my back on the show that we were working on. It was the Sylvester Stallone movie.
Also known as Breaking Your Back.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Okay.
But I still went to work. In fact, I was working two shows. I was working his show at night, and I was working another show during the day doing car chases. So I put this kind of a corset thing on that's got these metal stays down the back. It's like literally a woman's corset, and I tighten it up as tight as I could get it, and I went to work. And we had one scene where I was supposed to fall off of a fire escape balcony about, I don't know, four or five stories to a airbag down below. And I went to Leonard, and I said, Terry, I don't think I want to do this. Because I was afraid I was going to get into the bag wrong and really screw my back up.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So you already had a broken back.
Yeah.
And it wasn't healed.
No.
You're holding it together with this corset.
Yeah, this is like 2 days later.
Oh, my God.
And
isn't that a no-brainer? That I can't even believe they'd have you back.
Well, you don't go around advertising it. So you kept it. I broke my back.
So you kept that a secret.
Well, yeah, you don't tell anybody. He knew. I mean, he knew I was hurt. But
hurt? I mean,
I didn't even know I broke it until like a month later, the doctor, when I finally went to the doctor.
So you're walking around for 2 days with a broken back, didn't even know it.
Yeah, I knew I was hurt, but I didn't really know it was broken.
Wow.
So anyway, I put the corset on, and I go... and I'm supposed to do this backwards fall down into an airbag, I don't know, 50, 60 feet. And I said, Terry, come here, and went over to the side, and I said, I don't think I want to do this. He goes, all right. He know probably. He goes, all right. Well, I said, but, I don't want to get booted off the show. I want to do more stuff, you know. And he says, well, I do have a motorcycle that we got to endo into some trash cans. And I said, well, I'll do that.
What's endo? Go endo? Like wipe out?
Yeah, endo. You know,
endo. Oh, end over end?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Into some trash cans.
That sounded better to you.
Yeah. I mean, that's how warped my thinking is. You know, I went, I'll do that. You know, because I knew I could control that. But the fall into the airbag, if I get into it bad, I'm really going to, you know, I'm going to be in a wheelchair. So anyway, that was.
So was this was an example of something you wish you had not, you wish you had done?
I wish I had. Yeah.
Well, how did it work out with the motorcycle?
Oh, it's fine. Yeah, it went great. Yeah, one shot, boom, boom, we're done.
So that's one that you look back now and wish you had jumped from the building?
Yeah, because it's always bothered me that I turned it down, even though I knew that he understood.
Right.
It was like, I felt like a pussy, you know, because
you didn't man up?
Yeah, I guess, you know. So I was like, it's not like I lost sleep over anything, but it just, you know, I haven't even thought about it in years till you brought it up.
Well, but it obviously still there. You still, I mean, if.
Well, I just, you know, I think back going, shit, I should have just, you know, manned up and went ahead and did it.
But it didn't affect your working relationship with him?
Oh, no, not at all.
But you said that you're, you know, I know you're an amazing driver, and we're going to talk. Yeah. And we're going to, and when I say world famous, I mean, everyone in the stunt world knows this man. And that's why, you know, it's such an honor to have you here.
You're going to make me blush.
Well, it's the truth. And you know, we are going to talk still about Dark Knight and the stunt you did that many consider to be one of the greatest stunts ever performed on film. And I'm very interested to hear specifics about that. But before we get there, I wanted to ask you about the horrible, tragic death of Paul Walker. He's driving a Porsche out in the valley or Valencia.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know what happened. If you don't know, he's from Fast and Furious, an actor there, and he died in a blaze. He was a passenger in the front seat. What do you think happened?
I have absolutely no idea, and I wouldn't even try and speculate what happened.
Have you driven that Porsche before?
No. You mean one like it or
yeah,
that particular
that model,
one?
Yeah, that model.
Actually, I have not, no. So I don't really know. I understand that the handling characteristics of those are not the greatest.
That's what
everyone's
saying, yeah.
Yeah, but I wasn't there. I wouldn't even begin to speculate what happened.
As a stuntman who puts his life on the line all the time, what were your thoughts about that accident?
Well, what a tragic loss. I knew Paul. I'd done a couple of movies with him. And he was really, really a super great guy. And my first thought was, oh, my God, what a tragic deal. Because, you know, he was a good driver. And he liked fast cars. And he was, you know, he dabbled in racing and everything. And it's just, I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, what a waste.
How well did you know him?
Well, I mean, it's not like we went out bar hopping every night, but I knew him. We did a movie called Joyride together, and I got to know him pretty well. One of his best friends is a stunt guy, Oakley Lehman, and he was on the show. It was one of his first shows, I think. And so we kind of hung out together, and we got to know each other. And then I did Fast and Furious 2 with him, so... you know, I mean, you get to, you don't go hang out with these guys at night and go bar hopping and go once in a while, but not very often, you know.
Yeah.
But
especially in LA because they're home. They go home.
Yeah. But you do develop a certain rapport and if, you know, a certain, I guess, friendship on the set, you know. So,
you feel personal. It sounds like it's not, it's different when you know the person you've worked with them.
Yeah. I mean, we hate to see anybody, you know, go out like that.
Oh, it's disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine? But if you know him and you've worked with him, and
it's
and,
hard.
Yeah, it's
sure.
Very, it's difficult. Yeah, yeah.
The being a stunt guy to lighten it just a little here, the moon. I would imagine that you've a lot of women who think you're pretty hot. Groupies. I bet there are a lot of women who would love to get a stuntman on their under the belt, a little notch in the belt. Am I right?
Well, yeah, probably, but unfortunately, I've never been the recipient of that very much. But yeah, I mean, a lot of the stunt guys are big, good-looking dudes and everything, there's a mystique about stunt guys. You know,
have you found that? Have women ever found you online or written you and said, "I need to be"?
No, not really.
No, how about a few men?
Men,
all men.
Yeah, shit. I can't turn them down enough.
I'm sure. Well, you know, I wish all of you here could sit with me in the studio. If you're watching on camera, you can see obviously what Jim looks like. But you know, I look at you and I see a guy who could be playing a doctor, a lawyer. You know, how tall are you? About 5'10"?
Just about 5'11", 5'11 and a half, somewhere in there.
Okay. And you're pretty healthy weight. You're not buff. You know, I mean, I don't look at you like when I would imagine a stuntman, it's like are you pretty much the typical size of a stuntman, would you say?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
You probably have to be, if you're too buff and too crazy big, you can't really do stand-in work.
Yeah, well, it limits your ability to double actors, which, you know, is where a lot of our work comes from. Mm-hmm. So we don't do stand-in work, by the way. But,
what do you mean you don't do stand-in work? Because you are standing in for Zach, right?
We're stunt doubling. There's a difference.
Oh, okay.
There's
I got it.
Two different categories.
That seemed to kind of get under your nerve a little.
Well, no. It's just that there's your stand-ins
under
are...
the skin, that's what I meant. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, stand-ins are the guy that stands in for the actor while they're lighting the set.
Right. Yeah. And a double would be...
Nothing against that. A lot of great people do that.
No, it's there's a... Job. You're right. You corrected me. 100%. Yeah.
There is a difference.
Incredible difference.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Dark Knight because, like I said, I mean, you know, when I talk about you, I got to talk about that film. Now, were you working side by side with Heath Ledger?
Oh, yeah.
Heath Ledger played the Joker.
Correct.
This was the last role that he played before he tragically lost his life. Were you on location with him at the time of he passed away?
No, not when he died, no. We were done filming and...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. In the film, there's a sequence where there is a semi truck, an 18 wheeler, that Batman ropes with some kind of wire. That's, I think, done through special effects, I imagine.
That was the only CGI in that sequence, but yeah.
Causing the truck gets pulled back, the rope gets taut, so to speak, and then the truck flips completely over from end to end, landing upside down.
Correct.
And who's in the cab of that, or cabin? I think it's called a cab, right?
Cab.
Front cab?
Yeah.
It's you.
Correct.
So I believe I read and saw an interview with Christopher Nolan. There were something like 7 cameras rolling.
Mm-hmm.
They were shooting this for IMAX.
Correct.
There was only one take or a test. There wasn't even a take. There was one test, correct?
Yeah, we had to do one test.
Why did they call you for this particular stunt?
Well, actually, a friend of mine recommended me. I didn't know the stunt coordinator at the time on that movie. Paul Jennings and Tom Struthers were the stunt coordinators. And I had not worked with them previously. So they, I guess, reached out to some guys that they did know. They were both from England. My name was... put in the hat for that, and they called me and said, "Do you want to come in and work on this movie?" I didn't know when I took the job that we were going to do this stunt. I didn't know until I got to Chicago, and we went over to the special effects shop, and Struthers, he goes, "Oh, by the way, you know, mate," he says, "you're going to flip this truck end over end, you know?" And all the effects guys are standing around looking at me going, "You're not really going to do this, are you?"
So they were clever with you. They didn't say, "Will you," or "Would you like to," or "Could you?" They just told you what you're going to be doing.
Well, yeah. I mean, I could have said no or, but I'm not going to do that. Are you kidding? So, mm-hmm. So, yeah, I didn't, it wasn't like they called me 6 months ahead of time and said, hey, we got this great stunt and we want you to do it. You know, it was like, hey, mate, come on to Chicago. You're going to do this chase sequence with the truck and everything. I mean, we did a lot of stuff besides the truck flip. You know, we did a whole sequence leading up to that, you know, with that truck. So
whatever you did is still not as noted as this particular one stunt.
Well, that was the standout deal. Yeah, obviously.
So, again, the stunt is for an 18-wheeler to essentially flip over vertically. So it kind of, instead of going sideways, it goes over the top.
Straight over, yeah.
And were you part of the test? Because I understand there was one test out in a desert.
No, we actually did the one test. We had to know that it was going to go straight over. It was discussed originally towing it in, you know, because nobody knew what was going to happen. Nobody had ever done this before.
Yeah.
So they talked about, well, maybe we'll tow it in and set it off remotely. And, you know, I said, well, guys, that's not really going to tell us what we need to know, because on the day, I'm going to be driving it. So I need to be driving it for the test. So that's what we did. We were in a big parking lot outside of Chicago, and we mapped off, you know, we chalked off where the street would be, the distances and the widths and everything, and the length of the run that I would have to make to get up to speed and all of that.
How fast did you have to go? Do you have to go for that?
About 30.
30 miles per hour?
Yeah.
What propelled? There were explosives in the back of the truck, correct?
There was a cannon, a single cannon, what they call a cannon, which is basically a cannon. It's a tube. And then it's got a slug inside of it, and you blow the slug out either with black powder or nitrogen compressed gas, and that tube, that slug coming out of the tube is what propels the whatever you're doing, car, truck, whatever, over.
So it pushes the back of the truck over its top.
Right. Yeah.
So what did you think when you did the test run? Were you scared?
No.
No.
Not really. I mean, I was nervous, you know, because I didn't know what was going to happen.
Well, the worst thing that can happen is you get crushed to death.
Yeah,
alive.
It blows up, you know, crushes me or what. I didn't know, you know. None of us knew.
The cabin was reinforced, though, with lots of steel.
Yeah, and I had carte blanche on. I was with the effects guys every day, you know. Hey, you know, what do you want here? What kind of bars? Where do you want your seat? How do you want this? You know, it was... I was very much in the process of that part of it, you know. I did not design the stunt. Chris Cobalt, the effects coordinator, who's one of the best in the business, if not the best, he designed that stunt. But I was in the safety aspects of it. You know, I was involved in that.
So you're doing the stunt. Seven cameras are rolling. What street were you on in Chicago? Do you remember the name of the street?
LaSalle.
Okay.
Right.
Financial district.
Yeah, right in front of the Board of Trade.
So this is a real city street.
Yep.
If things go wrong, like the Cadillac story, lots of damage.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a bad thing.
It's very bad.
So you flip this truck. No matter what, you don't know 100% what's going to happen. Last time you did in a parking lot, now we're on a real city street.
Right.
It's a success. What happens the second the truck settles and the director yells, cut?
I was a little bit out of it, so I couldn't really tell you. I mean, I wasn't knocked out, but I was like, I wasn't really quite sure where I was at. We have an expression that kind of rung my bell, you know. When the truck came over and hit, the cab of the truck came back up and then kind of slammed back down. Called a double slapper, and it kind of rung my bell. So
I knew that, double slapper.
Yeah, so, I mean, I was aware that it was over with, and I was fine and everything, and they come and they got me out and, you know, did the whole thing, and everybody...
What's the whole thing? Pats on the back?
Yeah, pats on the back.
Champagne?
Applause. Yeah, great job. No champagne. That comes later. I kind of walked around in circles for about 10 or 15 minutes and sort of, you know, got my shit together, and then they went and checked me out in the back of the ambulance just to make sure I had some blood. You know, I hit the roll bar or something. They checked me out. Everything was fine. Chris Nolan comes over, you know, shakes my hand. Great job. You know, that's good.
So okay. Were they giddy? Were they giddy?
Well, like maybe for about 8 seconds, and then it's like back to business, you know? I mean, we're making a movie. It was a great stunt, great, you know, okay, nice job. Thank you very much. You know, we're on to the next scene.
Did you know what a big deal it was?
Not really. I mean, I knew it. I kind of knew it was, I mean, I knew it was a big deal because it had never been done before, and I knew it was pretty spectacular, but I didn't know that it was going to be such a big...
It's a seminal moment in stunt work, correct? I mean, here we are talking about it.
Some say it. Yeah, I don't know. If you say so, I don't know.
Well, I go by what, you know, what's out there. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's a general consensus that that's a huge stunt, a milestone in the stunt world.
Yeah, it is. And it was, I feel very privileged to have been part of it and been in the right place at the right time to be able to do that. You know, it was exciting because it's never been done.
Yeah. And I don't think it's been done since. Before we run, I just want to know real briefly how you even got started in this. Is this a family thing or did you just answer an ad in Craigslist?
I just kind of fell into it. All right. Sorry. Yeah. No, I think since I was a little kid, I subconsciously wanted to be a stuntman. But back then, people didn't know what stuntmen were. There wasn't the big, you know, hoopla there was. Everybody thought John Wayne did his own stuff, you know. So I think, you know, I stood in front of the TV and tried to outdraw Matt Dillon, you know. And I'd get the neighborhood kids in and I'd choreograph fights in my mom's living room, recreate barroom fights. And that lasted one fight and then everything got moved outside. But it just, you know, I think subconsciously it's something I always wanted to do, and I prep myself for it by doing every different type of sport.
So you're self-taught?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Now there are schools.
There are a few schools.
And you teach at one of them.
I do. I teach at one of the driving schools.
If someone wanted to get a look at that and maybe even go and take a class with you, how would they go about that?
They would go to either my website, which is wagontrainproductions.com, or they could go to Bobby Orr Motorsports.
B-O-B-B-Y-O-R-R?
O-R-E.
O-R-E.
Uh-huh.
Bobby Orr what?
Motorsports.
Motorsports.com. Okay.
And tell you all about the classes and what we do and how much and everything. We're out in Camarillo, California, and also Sebring, Florida.
Is there a stunt you haven't done you want to do?
Yes.
What is that?
And I don't think it's been done. I've always wanted to do take a tanker, truck, and trailer. You know, you've seen them going down the road where there's a tank on the truck and then they're pulling a trailer.
Right.
And I want to pipe ramp the truck as I break the trailer loose, have the trailer coming sideways like a jackknife, and pipe ramp the truck in front of it and then have the trailer flip over the top of the truck. It's a visual thing.
Say that one more time.
I can't.
Did you follow that, Jeremy?
Yeah, I got it.
Explain
yeah,
it to me, Jeremy. We're gonna say goodbye in a second. I want to understand this, and for all of you listening, I want you to understand this stunt that Jim would like to do, and you might do it because he seems like you're pretty unstoppable. You're willing to do anything. You just need the right film. So it's a tank on top of a truck carrying. So it's like a long 18-wheeler carrying a truck instead of cars. It's just happened to have an army truck tank.
It's a tanker, like a fuel.
Oh, a fuel tanker. You know. That's where I got confused. So it's a fuel tanker truck.
Yeah, truck and trailer.
Okay, and then you again do what?
You pipe ramp the truck
from behind.
No. Hit a pipe ramp, a big, huge pipe ramp with the truck as the trailer is jackknifing out. Let me give you a visual.
Okay, so
here's
it does like
truck.
A
trailer comes out and the truck goes over in the air and the trailer follows it down the road, flipping end over end. So you got the truck turning over in the air and the trailer going next to it, turning end over end, and the truck lands on the trailer.
Okay, I think I get it. Jeremy, do you get it?
I get it. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, I'm still confused, but you know what? I'm not good with math. It feels like a math problem to me.
It probably is.
But it sounds dangerous if there's, like, fuel.
Well, now that you've made me say it, somebody's going to go do it and beat me to it. But no.
Really? Is that how it works?
I don't know.
You heard it here. No one steal this idea. I know. Don't worry about it. I will not. I'm scared of everything. So that's the last thing I'm going to do.
Cool.
Anything else you'd like to add before you go?
I want to say thank you very much for having me here. It's been fun.
It's been amazing. Is there an Academy Awards for stunt people?
No, there's not. There's been an effort for the last several years to get in a category for stunts in the Academy Awards. And my grandfather-in-law, well, up until recently, was the only one that ever was presented an honorary Oscar as a stuntman.
Oh.
And that was Yakima Canutt.
What's Yakimak Mike?
He's a
That's his name?
Your
father-in-law?
He was one of the first and very famous stunt guys that kind of brought it together as a science.
Your father-in-law?
My father-in-law's father. My wife's grandfather.
Okay, so there was that. Is that
Did
how you
I say
got in
that
the business?
Right? No.
Yeah. Okay, it just so happens that's
yeah.
the coincidentally.
Yeah.
Thank you again, Jim Wilkie. If they want to contact you personally, how would they do that? You people listening, how would they do that? Do you have a website? Or
I have a website.
Like those ones you mentioned? Okay.
WagonTrainProductions.com.
Great. Thank you so much. Be safe, okay?
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, okay. Be very safe. And I want to thank all of you. Thank you, Jeremy, for a great job over there in the booth. And thank you all for listening. We'll see you next time right here on Vic Cohen's It's a Fair Question.
I'm Vic Cohen, and it's a fair question. It's a fair question. It's a fair question. I'm Vic Cohen, and it's a fair question. It's a fair, it's a fair, it's a fair, it's a fair question. I'm Vic Cohen, and it's a fair, it's a fair, it's a fair, it's a fair question.